So we have titled today's talk, The History of Kirtan in ISKCON. And to cover that would take hours because it's such an extensive subject matter. But we have tried to present it in a very synchronized, in a very succinct way, summarized way. It's interesting because our whole society has evolved around kirtan. And how the different melodies, the different instruments, the different styles, the different instructions given, and the different performances in terms of outside and inside kirtans. It's a pretty extensive and pretty interesting subject matter. But I'd also like to talk, and as was mentioned to me, today is the solar appearance day, birthday of Ayendrapu, who pretty much revolutionized kirtan in a very big way. He joined the ISKCON movement in 1974 in Washington, D.C. And he immediately started to preach Krishna consciousness. And he developed a taste for and a desire to perform kirtan more and more. He was a self-learning instrumental. In other words, he learned how to play harmonium by his own practice. And he was very instrumental. In fact, he was the foundation to continue Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Srila Prabhupada said that in Vrindavan we should have 24-hour kirtan. But in 1978, which was 1 year after Srila Prabhupada disappeared from the planet, the kirtan program that had started stopped. It was at a standstill. Nobody was doing it. Nobody had a desire to do it. And so when Ayendra, he came to India around that same time, and a little bit later, I think around 1985, I think it was, he began the 24-hour kirtan program, which was Srila Prabhupada's desire for Vrindavan. And then he met a few other persons who we all know. One was Madhava Prabhu, who became very much... He was a young boy of only 18, and he came to Vrindavan around that time also. So they connected along with another devotee named Govinda, who is from, I think, Serbia, I think. And the three of them really started to re-energize the whole program of kirtan. And that was the 24-hour kirtan, which went on for many, many years and still is still going, even today, because of Ayendra's determination. He made it strict how everything was being done according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions for kirtan. Because whatever we do in Krishna consciousness, we follow a certain principle, and that is what is said by the scriptures, what is given by the spiritual masters, what is given by the previous acharyas is the foundation for all of the activities that we perform. So there's no room for interpretation or speculation. Everything is done according to tradition and according to the direction given. Of course, there are time, place, and circumstance which allows different changes to occur in order to bring about a better presentation of the actual activity. So in the sense of kirtan, Ayendra, he developed this particular style of kirtan, which is an India classical type of style. It's called Kalyal, which is not such a strict style. It is quite what we say. It allows room for improvisation, for embellishments, for additions, as opposed to the more rigid style of kirtan, which is called Drupad, which is very exact and has to be done accordingly. So he developed that Kalyal style, which was Indian classical style, and he developed many melodies and ragas based on that style. So he was also quite, what we say, innovative in the presentation of kirtan. His kirtans was so absorbing that, and so what we say, hard to imitate. Nobody could imitate his kirtans, although persons tried to. And he brought that program, and he set up three shifts for 18 hours a day, going from starting at 1 o'clock in the mid-morning hours. For 18 consecutive hours, they would perform kirtan. And it was, and Madhava would always tell me that he would have to play the mridanga for 6 hours, sometimes all by himself, singing in the middle of the night. He said that's when he really learned mridanga, and he also learned how to appreciate kirtan. And Iyengar was quite direct about what he wanted to see in terms of the kirtan, how the style go on. And he was very specific in making sure that only persons who were absorbed in that idea of kirtan could actually take part in these kirtans, and not just anybody could join. He wanted quality, he wanted people who were dedicated to kirtan. And because of that, they established this core group, this team, which was the foundation which spread the 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan, which is still going on today. Such persons as Gopal and others joined that kirtan and are still very much involved in that. He produced many albums, and he also, of course, he would say that he sort of revived kirtan in ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada wanted kirtan to be a very big part of our entire program. And so Prabhupada made some statements. And you'll see in the early days how kirtan was done. It's a little bit different than what we do now, but it has the essential same. And then, of course, there were many groups that formed here in Europe, especially in this area, in the area what was now known, once was known as Yugoslavia. You had the Gauranga Bhajan Band. Those of you who remember that group, Krishna Kshetra Maharaj was a member. Sachinandana Swami was also a member of that group. Hari Kesh Maharaj was one of the persons who got it going. And so that was a whole different performance. It was something that was done for the general body of people on the outside. And they did, their kirtans were quite wild, to say the least. Swinging from ropes and doing all kinds of acrobats. But some of the venues, they would attract 25,000, 35,000 people for one night show. So it was, became quite popular. And that was in the late 1980s, I believe. In Gauranga Bhajan Band. Some of you remember that? Was in the 90s? In the 90s, okay. Any of you gone to their performances? Okay, I think we have a few. But Prabhupada's style for kirtan was very direct in terms of what he wanted in the temple. Here's a couple of statements. He said a good kirtan lasts an hour to 40 minutes, and the first half of the hour is all slow. This is Prabhupada. And then it gradually builds. Prabhupada liked those slow kirtans. And that way the guests would be easily able to connect with it. When Prabhupada arrived in England in 1969, he told the devotees, and Lord, instruments should be played softly, accompanied by the lead singer. And the chorus in the back should be very loud, the response. Now, it's interesting to note that in the very beginning, in 1967 and 68, we didn't do responsive kirtans. We did, everyone sang together. It wasn't like one person would sing and everyone would respond. But then the responsive, somehow or other, it came. Prabhupada wanted to form a Sankirtan party to travel around the world. He wanted an ISKCON Sankirtan Prabhupada, and he wanted devotees to dedicate their lives to doing that. And we see now that we have Harinam Ruchi, one group also. And there's other groups that are also doing something in that. I think Kadambakananda Maharaj wanted to do that right around just a couple years ago. And he did it. He established a group to travel around and do kirtan in different places. And Prabhupada said, the kirtan party should have two members who play mridanga, eight will play cymbals or kartels, two will play tampura, and one harmonium. And besides that, there will be a leader of the party. So Prabhupada was very specific how he wanted to structure the kirtan. Prabhupada made a difference in the temples. In the very beginning of the Krishna conscious movement, he allowed all kinds of instruments to come in, because our movement was new and people were coming off the streets, and they would bring their violins, they would bring their guitars mostly, saxophone. There was saxophone, there was, you name it, it was there, flutes. But Prabhupada allowed that because he knew that these were just new people and he didn't want to discourage people by streamlining the kirtan in a certain way. But he said, for us, when we do our programs in the temple, we should limit ourselves to mridanga and kartals for kirtan. And then he said, also, you can do the wampers, the big smashers like that. But they shouldn't be played so loud. One time Prabhupada was in outdoor kirtan, and one very powerful kirtan leader was leading. And there were many people who had come. And so it was one of these really, what you call, blasting loud kirtans. And Prabhupada sat through it, and then at the end, he went to his room and some of the devotees followed. And he said to one devotee, "What do you think of that kirtan?" And one devotee said, "It was all right, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "It was just noise." It was just noise, because it was more like volume than sweet and very melodious and focused devotional. It was more an emphasis on sound. But the sound shouldn't overshadow the lead singer and become the main thing. Prabhupada was very clear that kirtan is meant to glorify the Lord, and of course, and attract others also to take part in that glorification. So it should be done very sweet. And for Western people, he said, we should do a very nice kirtan so they can find it easy for them to join in on us. I like that. That was Prabhupada's mood. And for this temple, he was quite strict, not only with the kirtan, but with the melodies too. Although, in general, kirtans, when they were done outside, because in the old days, Harinam was every day. Every temple that was existing in those days would do Harinam. There was Harinam everywhere. And if you see the early Back to Godhead magazines, you'll see the whole magazine is more or less dedicated to highlighting Harinams around the world. And you'll see pictures of devotees doing Harinam in different places around the world. That was big. After some time, Harinam lost some of its enthusiasm. Fortunately, it's still good here, which is really Srila Prabhupada's desire that we keep Harinam going, and because that purifies the atmospheres, it attracts people to Krishna consciousness, and it also purifies the devotees. So he wanted Harinam to continue. But when in the temple, he was a little strict in terms of how things should go on. Such as melodies. For Mangalarti, he always wanted the morning melody sung for Mangalarti. And if someone was singing another melody and Prabhupada was there, he would stop them and say, sing the morning melody. He wouldn't allow just any melody to go on because melodies are given according to different times of the day. There is a morning melody, there's the afternoon melody, and then there's the evening melody also. So Prabhupada wanted that. And he said, kirtan, when we do kirtan, we should sound the names very clearly and distinctly and make sure that everything is done accordingly. He didn't want us to push the words together or to change the words. Just like... And there was one very powerful kirtan leader, his name was Vishnu Jan Swami. Maybe you've heard of him. Even today people study his music. Now he used to do Harinam kirtan on the average 8 to 10 hours every day. And he would play the mridanga the whole time. You know, we see his fingers wrapped in bandages. And he would play the mridanga, and he would go, that's all he would do. He would play the mridanga and sing like that. And then one time, Prabhupada called him into his room. Prabhupada was a little concerned. Something was different. And so he wanted to make sure everything was set right. He said, what is this Ramo? It's not Ramo, it's Rama. What is this Ramo? That's what he said. He said, if this continues, it will ruin our whole society. That's what he said. The word Ram, the mantra is a Sanskrit mantra. It's not a Bengali mantra. Because if you go to Bengal, that's all they sing, Ramo. Because the tendency in the Bengali language is that they change the A to O's. In many of their, both in their kirtans and in their also in their writings, O becomes, overshadows A. But Prabhupada made it clear that it's Rama. And the A is a guttural, you say, Rama. You pull it in, it's not like Rama or Krishna. Okay, that's a little closer. But sometimes we hear Krishna. Right? We hear that sometimes. When I hear Krishna, I say, no, it's Krishna, yes, not Krishna. No Krishna. Yes, Krishna, yes. So that, unfortunately, it's become very strong in our society now. Even here, devotees sing Ramo. And the tendency is to pick up from the Bengali, or the tendency is to that when you say A, you pull it in, and there's not a long, dragged out emphasis on the last syllable. But when you do that with O, it's easy. Hare Krishna, no, oh. Rama, Something like that. And then where are we? We're not sure. We're just like in some rock band or something. So well, that's very important because, and Prabhupada didn't like long, drawn-out words like holding the last syllable for like 20 minutes, you know. Those of you who know kirtan, you know, probably just right to the, just emphasis, put a, and you put some vocal emphasis on the end, but not that you hold it. It sounds really sexy, right? You know, but that's all it is. It's not really bhakti. So Prabhupada said we should do kirtan correctly, according to the acharyas. So he emphasized that. And you see, now when we go out to do kirtan for the general public, of course sometimes we do kirtan venues where people come to hear kirtan. We go to yoga studios or we go. And they have programs in different places. There is a little leeway in how we can do kirtan there because it's a broader audience. And in order to somehow or other connect with the audience, we use the, that's allowable. But then Prabhupada made that distinction. But, you know, but for in our temples, it's very precise on how the kirtan should go on, how the dancing should go on, how the singing, the lead singer should sing, how everything should be responded nicely. So throughout the history of our movement, if you study throughout the years, we compiled this book. It's called The History of Kirtan and ISKCON. It's about 110 pages. We made this as a presentation to the European leadership meeting in New Mayapur about 3 or 4 years ago. So we studied this whole thing. Anybody wants a copy of this, you can have it. And I have it on soft copy also, so I can send it to you on your email. And it's quite interesting. We took a long time to research all of this information and find how kirtan has developed, how the styles have developed, how the mood has developed, where we've gone off, what is allowable, what is not allowable, and the different melodies and the different tunes like that. But kirtan is our means for, you know, pushing on Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he was doing kirtan, he didn't put too much emphasis, or hardly any emphasis, on the quality of the singer. In other words, if the singer had bhakti, it didn't matter if they could sing or not. Even if they couldn't carry a tune, it would be fine. But it's interesting, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, was the opposite. Because in India, it was more or less fine to do that. But in the West, no. Because people in the West, they like what they call excellence of elements. That means when the melodies are nice, when the music is connected nicely, in other words, everyone is playing accordingly, and the singer is also singing nicely, it becomes very attractive. And that's when Prabhupada wanted to use kirtan along with purifying it, as to show that here is something that you can take part in that is very nice. So he didn't give too much leeway for change or for mistakes. He wanted everything done nicely for the benefit of the people in general. So, but Bhakti Siddhanta wasn't like that. Bhakti Siddhanta would lead kirtan sometimes, and his followers would go. He couldn't sing. He wasn't noted for his singing. But he had bhakti, obviously. And so that in that sense, it became beautiful. There was one story where Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and the devotees had met this real expert kirtanier. He was a man from the outside who had done kirtan as a profession. And so the devotees really liked his kirtan. He thought he sang so beautiful, and he was also singing, you know, Vaishnav tunes. So they invited him to come and meet Srila Prabhupada. And then they came during a morning program in Vrindavan, and they introduced him and they said, can he sing the Guru Puja? And Prabhupada said, fine. So he started to sing, and he was singing, obviously very beautiful. But at one point Prabhupada stopped him and told him not to sing anymore. And then he pointed to a person who was there, just a regular devotee, who couldn't sing at all. He had no tune. Prabhupada said, you sing. And the devotees were thinking, oh my God, why did Prabhupada pick him? And when he was singing, because he had bhakti, he had no ability for music, Prabhupada was enjoying it. But this other person who was very, you know, expert at music and singing, he was singing in a false ego that, you know, I'm a good singer. And, you know, you can't hide from the spiritual master. That false ego was coming out, and Prabhupada stopped him. Because the whole idea of kirtan is to please the Lord. That's the idea, is to sing in such a way that, and glorify the Lord in the mood of devotion. And that is what kirtan is about. So when we study how our movement, and of course there has been many groups that have developed over the years, and Prabhupada's statements, women leading kirtan, an important apparent contradiction comes from the statement that a sannyasi and a brahmachari should not hear a woman's voice. But Srila Prabhupada had men and women chant together, japa together, women lead kirtans in the temple and in public engagements, and women giving classes. Srila Prabhupada had Jamuna, one of the best singers, lead kirtan in front of crowds and guests and devotees, which included, of course, sannyasis and brahmacharis. Jamuna, Lilavati, Kaushalya, and later Parijata, Jyotimaya, and many others used to routinely lead kirtans. Sometimes the brahmacharis and sannyasis would object, but Prabhupada said if the sannyasis are disturbed, they can go to the forest. This is a letter by Prabhupada in 1974. I want to organize a woman kirtan party singing Gita Gan. You know Gita Gan? Anybody? Can you help me? And then he asked Gargan Muni if he can do that. This is certain Brijabasi style kirtans. In France, when he noticed that Jyotirmaya could pronounce the Sanskrit better than others, she had been taught by Nitai, his personal Sanskrit secretary, Srila Prabhupada said that from then on she should lead the recitation of the Sanskrit verses before the class, and that's before Prabhupada knew. Jamuna Devi was one of the first women to join ISKCON. She helped to open the sixth center in 67 in San Francisco, and then later on in London. And she was famous for her prayers, Govindam. We still do that. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was very strong about that. That song must be played, greeting of the deities, every day in every temple around the world. And that's how it got so established. Prabhupada was very strong. And one time they didn't play it. When Prabhupada was there, he said, where is it? They said, well, the recording's not available. And Prabhupada said, well, make sure it's there every day. He wanted that recording. He liked that very nicely. And Jamuna was such a good singer that actually when she met George Harrison, George Harrison really liked her voice and said that you have great potential for being a very, you know, popular singer. I can make you famous. He told her that. And then she told Prabhupada that, you know, should I take this? George Harrison wants to connect me with the, you know, the singing, recording on, you know, with his music. And Prabhupada said, didn't like the idea. So immediately she was very super obedient to Prabhupada. So whatever Prabhupada said, she did. So she completely gave up the idea, but she could have been, you know, she had such a beautiful voice. And very devotional. That was the main thing. And so there's a lot, yeah, so we have a lot of information here about, I could read some of the things here. This was New Vrindavan in 1972. This is when devotee Satya Narayan. Then the magic began to happen. The kirtan seemed to flow up over the stage from Bhardwaj leading to Vishnujan's lead. Vishnujan's playing Mridanga near Prabhupada took over the lead carefully and loving developed the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra more and more, encouraged by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so inspired by that kirtan, he took the Mridanga away from Vishnujan and started playing it. Prabhupada was really good at playing Mridanga. He had his own, you know, he had the traditional Mridanga beats that he knew. But they were very, very much in synchronization with the kirtan. You know, those who play the Mridanga should all understand one thing. Of course, I see it's here, it seems to be working very nicely. If the singer is leading with the kartals, the Mridanga should very carefully follow the lead singer and not try to overshadow by playing all kinds. You know, all of these fancy beats and everybody, wow, he's good. You know, this is Maya. It's just showing off. Prabhupada liked the simple Mridanga beats that just follow the kirtan so nicely, you know. And there's a few standard beats that we can play. But when you get into, you know, these big ballroom type kirtans, you can get embellishment with a few extra extra beats in there. But benefit basically, yeah, the simple beats that Prabhupada taught us and a few other ones are good. And a Mridanga player. Because Prabhupada said Mridanga leads. That means if the Mridanga wants, it can take over the kirtan just by acting in a way and just move into the forefront. And therefore, generally, when we did kirtan in the old days, whoever was playing Mridanga was the lead singer. Now we do it with kartals and Mridanga becomes the support. But Mridanga is the key to the kirtan, because when Mridanga is there, what do? You dance. It's the Mridanga beat that gets people to dance. And when you dance, you feel happy. When you feel happy, then you're in kirtan. It's kirtan. And here it goes on to say, Prabhupada took over the lead, carefully and lovingly developing the Hare Krishna mantra more and more. Encouraged by Prabhupada, Prabhupada closed his eyes and began rocking his head from side to side with an intense expression coming over his face. As the chanting increased in intensity, Prabhupada's whole body soon started rocking from side to side, and kartals were crashing together with such force. The kirtan was so sweet and so full of bhakti, Vishnujan Maharaj was singing with such feeling, playing Mridanga right in front of Prabhupada. Everybody in the audience felt so happy to be with Prabhupada and Vishnujan Maharaj in the association of all the devotees. It was such a wonderful kirtan that it appeared to me that Prabhupada could not contain himself. This was in 1972 in New Vrindavan. Out of his love for the devotees, Prabhupada took over the kirtan. When Prabhupada took over, the kirtan increased thousands of steps. No one had seen Prabhupada do that before. He didn't get up. He just sat on his vyasasan and sang while Vishnujan Maharaj was dancing and jumping and playing the Mridanga. So this time Prabhupada was so inspired at the kirtan, he just took it over, which was a rare thing for Prabhupada to do. Yeah, so we have a lot of information here. So, yeah, and devotees, you know, sometimes devotees compose melodies in order to present the variety of different melodies, that is also there, but also the melodies have to be, what we say, in line with the standard tunes that melodies are created from. It's not like one can just create melodies. It has to be according to a certain standard. And there's leeway, as we mentioned, that Kayal standard of kirtan allows so many improvisations to go on, and where then one can develop more and more melodies like that. Okay, see, these are some things about kirtan. I have a lot here. This book is 110 pages long. So, and Prabhupada talks, I mean, this book talks about a lot of things. Any questions, kirtans? It's a broad subject, yeah. Yeah, he didn't sing Nittai Gaur Hari Bo, yeah. But then what happened is Jayadvaita Maharaj is asking him that. You can hear it on the tape. And he said, can we sing, you know, like Nittai Gaur Hari Bo? Prabhupada said the Acharyas didn't do it. That's how he answered it. In other words, those in the past didn't do that. But he said, it's all right. But he didn't want it to make it into a kirtan like you do it like 10 times, you know. Because I know one kirtan leader, he sings, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Well, Hari Bo what? Now, yeah, we got the message. Now we got to... Because, you know, you're saying Hari Bo, sing Hari, in other words, Hare Krishna, that's what it says, yeah. So you do it once, maybe twice, okay, but it's not like it becomes a kirtan. But when Prabhupada was asked by Jayadvaita Maharaj, you can hear it on the tape, he said, the Acharyas didn't do it. That's how he answered. But he said, it's all right, once or twice. That's how he responded to that one. Prabhupada said one thing he said you can sing is Nittai Gaur. No, what is it? Nittai Gaur. What is that? Not that one. Gaur Nityananda Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo. He liked that. Gaur Nityananda Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo. That Prabhupada liked that one. He said you can sing that. But he didn't like, there was one very powerful kirtan leader, he would change the mantra, he would say, Hare Krishna, then he would say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He would use a different tune to introduce the mantra, Hare Krishna. Every time he sang Hare Krishna, Prabhupada stopped him. He probably came out of his room because he heard her downstairs. And he said, not like that. You can't change the mantra. Just like one of the things we do is to break up the mantra. Prabhupada never liked that. You know, just like Hare Krishna, and then everybody responds Hare Krishna, and somebody else, and then the leader sings Hare Krishna. Sometimes out of ecstasy it gets like that. But Prabhupada very strictly said, don't break the mantra. You sing it straight through. The only time you can break it is on the Prasadam song. Right? That's the time when we break it, because that's part of, and that, you know, was Bhakti Vinod Thakur, so he did that. But that's not a kirtan, that's just chanting one time like that. He didn't like that. And for Gaur Arti, for Mangal Arti, Prabhupada said, we should sing at least 50% of the time should be the Hare Krishna mantra, Mangal Arati. So sometimes some devotees lead and they do the Gaurvastikam prayers and they sing each of the lines twice. But then that takes away from the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. So Artis last 21 minutes. There's two standards for Arti, 21 minutes and 25 minutes. So generally we do a 21-minute Arti here for Mangal Arti. So that means at least 10 minutes should be the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. And if the leaders chant the Guru Vastikam prayers for a long time, that doesn't leave much time for Hare Krishna. So, like that. Yeah.
There were various occasions when the kirtan was stopped. What were the reasons why kirtan should be stopped?
What do you mean, when Prabhupada stopped them?
Yeah.
Well, they were doing it wrong. They either weren't singing the right melodies for the time, just like there is a Mangal Arati melody and there is Gaur Arati melody. Those are standard. Mm-hmm. Just like I give you an example, just last week I went to Croatia and then it was just like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. So when devotees started to lead, we were doing a late Mangal Arati around that time. But he was doing the afternoon melody for Mangal Arati. Well, how's that go? I have the afternoon melody. Samsara davana lalita loka antranaya karuna guna gunatvam. But it's not, that's the afternoon melody, or that's the melody that we sing when a great person departs, and then that melody is sung. But then the morning melody is different. I'm not so good, I'm not going to try to sing it because I make a mess out of the morning one. So, so I don't want to get exposed here. But then, yeah, so when that, one time one devotee was singing Gaur Nityananda Bohari, during Mangal Arati, Prabhupada stopped him. He said, Mangal Arati means Hare Krishna. Guru Vastikam prayers and Hare Krishna. But he also said, you can also sing, what is that particular melody? Oh, I can't think of it. It leads into the melody of the Hare Krishna mantra. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chanda Bhole, Kata Nidra Jayo Mayam, Pisachira Gole. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So those who can't pick up on that melody, they can sing Jeev Jago. So Prabhupada said that's allowable. So one time I did it, and somebody complained. Where'd you get that from? I said, Prabhupada. And that was the end of that. But yeah, people don't know. You can sing that one time in order to preface the melody. So the mood of Mangal Arati is Krishna is sleeping. He's been out all night, and at about 3:30 in the morning, he sneaks back in and goes to sleep. So his mother doesn't know he's out, you know, doing what he's doing. And so now it's a little later, so we want to wake up Krishna again. So the mood is so sweet and very, very slow and gradually. As Krishna's waking up, then you increase the tempo of them like that. So it's a meditation. Mangalartis are actually a beautiful meditation on Krishna coming home. And then the whole of Vrindavan is they're all waiting for Krishna to wake up. And so at the end, when the kirtan gets exuberant, it means that Krishna's awake and everyone's happy like that. So yeah, so all of these songs have a particular style to it and a mood that brings about attraction to Krishna in different ways like that. Kirtan's a great science. I'm not such adept at these different intricacies in kirtan, but I've been around kirtan for a long time, so I hear a lot like that. Anything else? Any other questions? So your question was, why did Prabhupada stop it? Yeah, usually for those reasons. Wrong melody, or singing the mantras that are a substitute for the Hare Krishna mantra. Okay, so we can stop. Okay. Oh, one more. Okay.
I would like to thank for the inspiring lecture. And then I would just like to ask what are some of the most important guidelines for those who are not reading the Kirtan but only participating in it. So what are some most important things to be aware of by participating in that way?
Well, how to participate in kirtan with those who are...
If we don't have like any instrument, if we just sing, is there anything that...
Well, here's another thing. When the singer is singing, your hands are like this. When you sing, your hands are like this. You're taking it in when he sings. You're giving it back, or giving it out when you sing. So it's nice if you do that. And then for dancing, Prabhupada taught what is called, we later gave it the Swami step. And you move your feet from side to side like that. So anybody can do that. But don't watch me. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm from the school that hasn't really developed yet. Not the old school or the new school. It's the unorthodox school. Kadambakarna Maharaj, he was quite expert in melodies. He was really good at melodies. And he would know how to carry a melody, you know, and bring melodies up and down. He not only had such devotion and such power in his kirtan, but he also knew the style for kirtan. He combined all of the expertise that kirtans needed into one, and that's why his kirtans were so powerful. He was expert. Yeah, so, but the most important thing is the bhakti. Because that's what it's all about. Showing bhakti to Krishna. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.